During today's episode, we continue on with season 3, Suicide and Hope, and today's segment is based on listening.
I think I would just like to reiterate what Brandon and I have said over and over in this session. Listen, 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 and take all threats, even veiled threats, of somebody choosing to end their life. Take it very seriously and get them help.
I try my best not to lie, but when I'm dealing with a suicidal person and they ask me not to tell anyone, I will tell them, oh, I will make the biggest lie to your face, but you know I'm going to tell someone.
It shows we care, and it shows we're with them in this journey. Even if you've heard the story 14 times, if you're willing, non-judgmentally, to sit with them and listen, and listen, and listen, and listen.
So please, stay tuned as we dive into this discussion on listening.
The Ear, Evangelical and Reformed, Christian Podcast. Welcome to The Ear, the Evangelical and Reformed, a Christian podcast that urges you to think deeper and draws you closer to God through faith. Through powerful sermons, teaching segments, and discussions, The Ear hopes to give you a different perspective on secular topics from a Christian worldview. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Please welcome your host, Brandon Queen.
Good morning, podcast world, and welcome to yet another episode of season 3, episode 2 of Suicide and Hope with Barbara Roberts. As you know, Miss Barb is the author of With Her Last Breath, and we are basing this series off of her book. And she joined us again for yet another episode. Due to our busy lives, we often do not take the time to listen to the ones we claim to love. Listening is an important tool that we as humans possess. We should use this to our advantage because you never know who will need you to listen. Sometimes listening can be a life or death situation. You know, Brian H. McGill once said that one of the most important sincere forms of respect is actually listening to what another has to say. We as Christians are taught in Proverbs 15:4 that the soothing tongue is the tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit. So then, we ought to be mindful of what we say to a person who might be battling depression or the thought of taking his or her own life. Take the time to listen, get the hurting person help, and just show the love of Christ to them. All right, Ms. Barb, welcome back to the show, and I'm glad you're able to join in with us on this topic that needs to be talked about.
Thank you so much, Brandon. It's a privilege to be here.
Awesomeness, awesomeness. All right, so as you all know, my name is Brandon Queen, and it is a joy and a privilege to be the host of The Ear Podcast and being a Christian and biblical commentary on topics that are of the secular realm, often getting wrong views, if you will, from people who don't understand or know the gospel. We are here to bring light and shed light on topics like suicide and topics like depression and stuff like that. So we're going back to the book With Her Last Breath. And again, keep in mind, we're running a free giveaway. And due to a good friend of mine, we are actually increasing the amount of giveaways. So we went from 5 to now 10, which is pretty awesome. So with that being said, first question of the morning is this, Ms. Barb. Why wouldn't anyone want to go to heaven as soon as possible?
That's an interesting, ponderable question, Brandon. And I think probably something we need to keep in mind through that question and any pondering about it is that God's timing may not be our timing. In fact, it probably isn't. And He has His time for us to go to be with Him. So taking our life into our own hands and us making the decision when to go to heaven by ending our life is not what pleases him. And so I think that's a pretty simple answer to what could be a very complex question. But, you know, I think, again, God has a time for us to go be with him, and he doesn't want us to choose and have that time be earlier than we might have.
Right. Now, I want to read the first sentence off of page 21 of your book, and it's part of Kathy's suicide letter or journal, if you will. Mm-hmm. And she stated, "Imagine that heaven is a million times better than here. And of course, mm-hmm. here is earth." And then she says, "There is no better place to be. No more tears or sorrow of any kind, only joy mm-hmm. and peace." So when I read that, I'm like, okay, well, she's got that right. You know, she is absolutely right about heaven and her perception of heaven, because it's described like that in the Bible. You know, my question kept going back to my mind. What was so weighing on her and holding her back to make her ask the question, why wouldn't anyone want to go to heaven as soon as possible? You know,
I think Kathy had a really tough life. Started out as a little girl, very, you know, carefree, like little kids are. And many things entered her life. And for those who have read the book or will read the book and read her 26-page journal, they will get a flavor of Kathy's tough life. And so, you know, I think Kathy is in one way, it's interesting because she's speaking truth, certainly. Who wouldn't want to be in heaven? I mean, as opposed to being here. And yet, in another way, it's an escape. What she's alluding to is, why would I want to stay here? I want to be in heaven.
Right.
And sure, that's a fact, but the way she did it wasn't what God had in mind.
Right. And I agree. And we'll never know.
We'll never know. Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
So this topic we're talking about is going to be titled Listening. And I think it's important that we as a body, you know what? Let's scratch the whole Christian thing for a minute. And let me say this. We as the human race lately have had a hard time listening.
Yeah.
As a collective group, we don't listen well.
Yeah.
All right. So my next question, Ms. Barb, is how do we truly listen to our loved ones or friends that are suffering from any thought of suicide or depression?
Well, I think the first thing I would say is pretty simple. Two words, undivided attention. Because so often when we say or we think we listen to somebody, we listen until they take a breath. And then we begin our own story or our own answer to a question or our own thoughts. And I think really, really listening to somebody is giving them the attention they need from us and being more concerned about them and their hurt and their story than our own. You know, sometimes, and we've all experienced this, Brandon, when somebody starts talking about something they're going through, it triggers a thought in our mind of what we went through, similar. And so if we're not careful, and if we don't really practice the what I'll call the art of listening, then we quickly jump in with our own story. And for somebody who's hurting, who's depressed, who may be thinking of ending their life, that is exactly what they do not need. They need somebody to walk beside them in their pain and really be willing to listen to their pain, no matter how hard that is.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. You know, I call those types of people that will interject a story. Mm. Oh, I have to outdo her story or his story. You know, and at times I can look at people and say, okay, that story never happened, because every time I tell a story, you have to try to outdo me.
Yeah.
I know several people like that. And it's like, okay, when you're dealing with someone that's depressed or suicidal, shut up. I hate to be so.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so yeah. Brash.
No, but you're
harsh.
Right. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
And then that horrible show I talked about last week, 13 Reasons Why.
Yeah.
I decided to watch some of the series.
Oh, wow.
You know, just to kind of get a feel of what it was. Hmm. And I was right. I absolutely hate the show. It's this girl that's going through a lot. Now, she went through some very traumatic things. I'm not going to take that from her. Mm-hmm. But how she targeted everyone that interacted with her life and said that it was their fault, you know, that she committed suicide. Now, this is a whole different spectrum here. And it's very different from what Kathy did. You know, Kathy was concerned about how her family would feel. She was worried about what they would think, worried about what her friends would think. You know, so she, and I'm not saying the girl on 13 Reasons Why wasn't sick in a way or depressed or suicidal in a way, but her, like the character's suicidal thoughts were selfish versus Kathy's, and this is going to sound strange, was very compassionate.
She really was, wasn't she?
You know, it was very compassionate.
I know.
You know,
I know.
It's like, I don't want to do this.
Which makes it even more confusing, doesn't it?
It does. Like, I'm sitting here scratching my head like, okay, you loved your family. You were compassionate.
Yeah.
But only the Lord knows why.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
You know.
Exactly.
And that leads to my next question. Why is it so hard for us to listen to God? Now, this is just us as a whole. You know, we have a hard time listening to God. And, you know, you are a caregiver. In a way, I'm a caregiver.
Yeah.
When did we learn to shut up?
Well, you're right. And you know how it is when somebody that you know really well, like me, I know my husband Ken's voice really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think we collectively don't often practice really listening to God. You know, all through the Bible, God's voice is clear, what he has for us, his love for us. And sometimes when I'm praying with somebody who's hurting, I'll pray, Lord, help us to hear your voice above any other. Because we get so caught up in hearing other voices, and we're just not used to listening to God's voice. So that you know, we, this might sound funny, but we don't know what he sounds like.
Right.
There's a verse in the book of James in the Bible that says, if any of us lack wisdom, we just need to ask God and he will give it. Okay. He's promised if we need to hear him on a certain subject, we need to ask and he will give it. There's another passage that says, my sheep hear my voice. So we need to be willing to be quiet and listen. And I don't think we're very good at that often.
Right. And I wish we were. I think the world would be.
Yeah, I know.
So
I know.
Much better.
I know.
But and that brings me to the Bible verse that states, you know, be still and know that I am God. And that's straight out of Psalms, you know, Psalms 46:10 to be exact. You know, it's to be still and know that I am God. Now, looking at this, because we're English-speaking people, looking at it word for word, let's break down what each word means. Okay, be still. Okay, you are a being, so you can't change who you are. But to be still, like just clear your mind of all the garbage and the social media posts and the news outlets and all the stuff they put out and TV series that are not helping you with your depression or suicidal thoughts. You know, be still. And if you're a Christian, know who God is. And if you don't know who God is and you know, you claim to be Christian and you're not clear about it, by all means, seek help from a pastor. Seek help from someone that, you know, is walking in the same path that you're walking with. Because once we begin to know who God is, we'll begin to listen more.
Yes, absolutely.
And that's just not for the suicidal person. That's for the person that has it all together, if you will. Because the person that has it all together may be struck with hey, you need to go deal with Barbara because she's having suicidal thoughts.
Yeah.
You know, put all your goodness and having it all together aside for a minute.
Yeah.
And let's listen to the people that need us the most.
Absolutely.
Okay. And then when we start talking to the people that are suicidal and have depressions, you know, we kind of sense it, like something isn't right. Like, yeah. I wasn't joking, but recently I was with one of my friends and he gave me my early birthday present. He knows I like knives and I collect them. So he gave me a set of throwing knives and another knife, you know, for my early birthday present. And I literally asked him, are you suicidal because you're giving everything away? And he kind of looked at me. He was like, ah, you playing off of your podcast series. No, I'm not suicidal. I'm like, okay, I'm just checking, you know. But should we ask those questions to a suicidal person?
We absolutely should. And a lot of people think that we should not, but we absolutely should. You know, we need to do it in a way that's non-judgmental, and we treat their problems very seriously. But, you know, I have asked people, I need to ask you this really hard question. Are you thinking of harming yourself, or are you thinking of taking your life? Because like you said, giving away prized possessions is one sort of a warning sign. And we can't just sit on that and think, well, I don't dare ask them because that'll put the idea in their head. That's not accurate thinking.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And I have a friend that, you know, suffers with it every now and again, and I'm keeping a close eye on him.
Good.
And whatnot. And just one of the questions is, and actually I told him, I said, look, if you ever make that comment again, and this was me being big brother type here, and what I told him was harsh, but he knew that it was out of love and out of friendship, you know.
Good. Like,
and I told him, I said, you make that statement again, I will act and I will put you in a mental health hospital until you get the help you need. You know, and he was going for a particular job, and I told him, I will destroy your career because I want you to live.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not saying go and be that stern and that harsh with people that are suicidal, but if you have that close connection with them,
sure,
and they open up to you with these problems, don't sit there and say or do nothing.
Yes.
Sit there and listen to them. Yes.
Yeah, when it's, absolutely.
When it's your time to speak, you're right. Do not be judgmental.
Yeah.
Ask the questions. And you said it in the first episode, do not leave this person alone.
Yeah, you bet.
You know, and my roommate and I are pretty good with, you know, whenever he has his depressions, we'll either go sleep at his house or we'll force him to stay here or whatever. But we do whatever we can to make sure he doesn't do that.
Yes, you bet.
You know, and it's hard for me to ask these questions. Are you thinking of doing this? Are you thinking about doing that?
Yeah.
You know, because what should we believe about suffering?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We don't know what they're going through. So what should we believe?
Well, you know, I think there are many things in scripture. You know, one of the more known people in the Bible that suffered was Job. And he makes an interesting statement. He says in the book of Job, shall we accept good from God and not trouble? You know, part of living and until we get all of us get to heaven has to do with suffering. And there's another passage that I often refer to. It has been granted to you, that means to us, to suffer for him. And, you know, sometimes people think suffering is hopelessness. It is not. Hopelessness is when we have no hope of God or what's ahead for us. But suffering, wouldn't it be wonderful if this life had no suffering? But that's just not how it is here. That's how it will be in heaven, but that's not how it is here. So suffering is part of living. And I think what pleases God is, number one, if we go to him in the midst of our suffering, and then secondly, if we trust him And, you know, God isn't out to get us all to be miserable. That's not what I'm saying at all. But living in this life, there is still sin here, and sin produces suffering. And so we need to recognize that.
Right. And then you wrote something in your journal or in the book, and it kind of brought up a good question. And I'm not going to read because I want people to do the thing. But the question that came out of this is, what do we do when we hear, and I say we, the caregiver, hear our answer?
Okay. That's a great question. You know, I think one of the things, as you said with your friend, and we've talked about before, don't leave them alone. So, okay, if we're not going to leave them alone, what does that mean? I think we offer ourselves, not only am I here with you, but I'll sit in the silence with you. I'll listen to you. I just want to be here for you because I care about you. So, you know, I think another thing we don't want to do, we don't want to agree to be sworn to secrecy. Now, don't you tell anybody that I'm having these thoughts, you know, and I would not agree with that. I would probably divert my answer for a little bit until I had sat with the person for a little bit longer. But I'd rather have them have help than to go ahead and take some drastic action on their own part. So we need to take all of what we sense or hear from them, any kind of threat, even if it's a veiled threat, very, very seriously. So that's another thing we do. And yet again, we need to listen and listen and listen to them. And don't get tired of listening to their, you know, sometimes we can think, oh, they're just complaining. Well, they're hurting. And they need to know that no matter what, we're going to walk through them, through this hurting with them, right beside them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So my saying is, I try my best not to lie. But when I'm dealing with a suicidal person and they ask me not to tell anyone, I will tell them, oh, I will make the biggest lie to your face, but you know I'm going to tell someone.
You know,
and the simple fact that I'm honest with them, most people, even suicidal people, appreciate that.
I think so too.
You know, because that lets them know, one, they're loved. Two, they're wanted. And three, we want, like, we as a whole, we're not going to let you hurt yourself.
Yeah.
So it answers those three questions that they're looking for. Am I wanted? Am I loved? Do people like me? You know, and if you get one person that says, no, I'm not keeping this as a secret, you're getting help and I'm not leaving until you do it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to back down until something happens. That shows that person, this person really cares about me.
It really does. You bet.
All right. So we kind of talked about it already, but I want to hit this pretty hard. Why is listening so important?
Well, I think one of the main things it does, it shows our love. It shows we care. And it shows we're with them in this journey. You know, even if you've heard the story 14 times, if you're willing, non-judgmentally, to sit with them and listen and listen and listen and listen, I think it really, and you already said this, Brandon, but it speaks to them, wow, they really do care about me. You know, it's not that we're trying to talk them out of it. We're just listening, and then if we sense they're suicidal, we ask the direct questions, and then we get them help. And like I kind of said before, we'd rather have them mad at us than dead. So, you know, we're willing to do whatever it takes to show our love by listening to them long and hard, no matter how much time it takes. We're willing to put our own life on hold because we know they need us.
Right. And I want to read something. Okay. And this is directly from her letter again.
Yeah.
All right. And it's going to be a little bit of rambling, so kind of bear with us, okay?
Yeah.
She wrote, "I wish I was dead already, so I wouldn't have to go through the trouble of climbing the stairs." Mm-hmm. Okay. And then she puts a comma, and then she goes on, and she's like tying the rope and letting myself drop.
Yeah.
If anyone ever has someone describe how they would end their life.
Yeah.
Please do something.
Yeah.
You know, do something. These, like, reading her journal, I'm getting choked up, but reading her journal, her last, what, 36 hours?
Yeah.
You know, it was, she hit a bunch of compassionate parts about the family. She hit a lot of points about why she shouldn't live anymore. She also hit a lot of points on how she's going to commit this act. Mm-hmm. All right. And I work in the jail also, as well as I work on the road. And just this week, an inmate made the comment that he wanted to kill himself.
Wow.
But he only said it because he was upset with the nurse. And yeah, it's like, okay, you said it to a nurse who has a license, who has to act. You said it in a bunch in a correctional facility with a bunch of cops around who also have to act.
Yes.
You know, so you have to get removed from the block, stripped down out of your clothing, put into a smock, is what it's called, and then watched for the next 24 to 72 hours. Okay. You don't make comments like that jokingly or you know, or just to make somebody mad. You don't do that.
Yeah.
You know, because you get people like Kathy who are truly suffering.
Yes.
And her story isn't told and her story isn't heard.
Yeah.
And it's those kinds of stories that we need to put at the forefront of suicide prevention, not 13 Reasons Why. Now, even though they claim to help people with suicidal thoughts, I don't think the material they're producing helps. You know, it's literally giving a license, you know, to take your own life. Like this girl did, I don't know how many tapes she did, but she did like a tape on each person in her life. And then upon her death, those were distributed to those people. Okay. So now you're basically asking these people to join you in death because they felt like they did such a horrible job as your friend.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Wow.
You know, and we need to be stronger in our stance on life as a whole.
We sure do.
So this concludes this segment of season 3, episode 2 of Listening. Now, in conclusion, we want this story to be told. Okay, so we got 10 copies to give away. I'm actually doing the first drawing Friday. Okay, today. So we're going to have the first drawing for this book sent out this Friday. I want you guys to share this episode, share any episode from this season on your Facebook, like any episode that we post, leave us a voice message, ask us questions. We want to help. You know, if you know somebody that is suffering from suicidal thoughts or depression, call and get them help. Don't leave them alone, and please keep them in your prayers. Ms. Barb, is there anything you would like to add?
I think I would just like to reiterate what Brandon and I have said over and over in this session. Listen, 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 and take all threats, even veiled threats, of somebody choosing to end their life. Take it very seriously and get them help.
Yeah, absolutely. I do agree. Ms. Barb, thank you so much for joining us for yet another episode. We will be back next week.
Hey guys, thank you for listening to this episode. We'll be right back after the break.
Greetings, this is Steve Salyards, the author of The GA Junkie, and here are some Presbyterian history notes for the week of September 8th. Sunday, September 8th. On this day in 1727, Naphtali Daggett was born. He was the pastor in Smithtown, Rhode Island, and he was hired as the first professor at Yale College. He later became the first chaplain and served as the sixth president of Yale. He was killed while a prisoner of the British Army in the Revolutionary War following the Battle of New Haven. Monday, September 9th. In 1877, San Francisco Theological Seminary dedicated its first building in downtown San Francisco. The seminary had been using borrowed space in the neighboring Presbyterian City College before that. The seminary moved to its current location north of the city 13 years later. Tuesday, September 10th. Nathaniel Taylor preached his sermon, Concio ad Clerium, which is Latin for Discourse to the Clergy, at the Yale College Chapel on this day in 1828. This was a major event in the development of what would become known as New Haven theology, and argued against original sin, among other doctrines. The theology had wide influence, and was vigorously opposed, particularly by Charles Hodge. While Taylor was a Congregationalist pastor, the impact on the Presbyterian Church was significant. The spread of the New Haven theology in the Congregationalist Church was a factor in dissolving the Plan of Union a decade later, and in the Old School, New School split. Wednesday, September 11th. On this day in 1824, Thomas Brown Craighead died. He was a fourth-generation Presbyterian minister, Scots-Irish descent. He is recognized as the first minister in Nashville in 1785 when he was invited to the frontier to establish a church and school. That school, the original Davidson Academy, became Cumberland College in 1806 under his leadership. It later became the University of Nashville and now continues as Peabody College of Vanderbilt University. Reverend Craighead participated in the frontier revivals of the Second Great Awakening and had doctrinal differences with the Synod of Kentucky. He was ultimately suspended from ministry by them, but after a long ecclesiastical fight that went to the General Assembly, he was restored to ministry shortly before his death. Through much of the church court arguments, his defense counsel was fellow Presbyterian Andrew Jackson, a friend, a neighbor, and a trustee of Davidson Academy. On a side note, Craighead's doctrinal trials were during the same period that the Synod of Kentucky was dealing with the nearby Cumberland Presbytery and their similar doctrinal differences that led to their breaking off and forming the Cumberland Presbyterian Church. Reverend Craighead had similar theological ideas, but was not associated with that group. Thursday, September 12th. In 1788, Alexander Campbell was born in County Antrim, Ireland. His family was affiliated with the Seceder or Associate Presbyterian Church. In 1809, he, with the rest of his family, moved to western Pennsylvania to join his father Thomas. Alexander was ordained in his father's church, and with his father and the congregation, helped start the Restoration Movement in what would be known as the Stone Campbell Group that would become the Christian Church, Disciples of Christ. Friday, September 13th. Last week we talked about John Calvin's first arrival in Geneva. This week we mark his second arrival, or return, in 1541, after a three-year absence. Calvin and Farel were asked to leave in 1538, when their ecclesiastical views and reforms were not in agreement with civil authorities, and thought to be in conflict with political aims. After 2 years of absence, and the steep decline of the church, diplomatic advances were made to Calvin and his host, Martin Bucer, in Strasbourg. Calvin reluctantly returned to Geneva on this day in 1541 and picked up where he left off with the Reformation, residing there the rest of his life. Saturday, September 14th. This is the bicentennial of the birth of William Ridley. He was an English Presbyterian missionary who moved to Australia in 1850 and was shortly after ordained there. He did a combination of parish and itinerant ministry while studying the Australian Aboriginal languages. The second half of his career, he was a journalist, writing and editing for newspapers, and during this time, he published his studies on the indigenous languages. Thanks for joining me here on the EAR podcast, and I look forward to joining you again next week.
You have reached the end of yet another episode from The Ear. We hope that God's word remains on the ears of the listeners. We pray that this podcast would urge you to go forth and spread His good news to the world. Thank you for tuning in. please don't forget to subscribe to our podcast. See you at the next episode. God bless you, and may His glory shine upon you.